Hello, hello. Thank you for tuning into today's episode of Joel Saves Big. If you do want to be a guest on my show, feel free to DM me at Joel Saves Big on Instagram. Hope you enjoy. Thank you all for joining today's episode of Joel Saves Big. Today I have H from Data Driven Frugal Living. H, would you mind introducing yourself to our listeners?
Hi, I started my Instagram page and I was just, let's say, average 26-year-old in Northern Jersey. And I was just on a quest to be debt-free and be able to do more with my money. I just found that the world we live in is so under finance that like no one really talks about this. So when I finally got a hold of it, I was like, I just want to know as much as I can. And then once I found this community, it just took off from there.
Awesome. Hope, and your first post, you mentioned that you just stumbled upon the Debt Freak. How did you stumble upon it?
I was searching on Instagram and I was like talking about like money. I don't know what it was about money, but somebody, one of these original Instagram like debt free pages, I don't think they exist anymore, but they were posting about how they were debt free and they were working towards debt freedom. Then I clicked on the hashtag and realized there's a huge following behind this. And I just kept on clicking at a bunch of other people that were commenting on the posts, and I found a lot of people. And I was like, wow, there's a lot of people. And I think first when I started looking at it, I was like, okay, I don't really see anybody that looks like me talking about this. And I kept clicking and I realized there's people from all over the US talking about it. Then when I got into it, I was like, all right, there's people all over the world on a quest to be debt free. So this is a thing. I didn't even know that debt freedom was like normal, as opposed to, I know everybody talks about, we all have debt. Uh-huh. And so it's like people are actually trying to pay off their debt, because I've been told all throughout college, oh, debt's normal, you're gonna just have payments for the rest of your life. I'm like, wow, there's people paying this off. I want to be like them.
Yep. And that's how I started as well. Is I was just used to, you know, at the time, like over $1,000 a month just paying debt, and I was like, oh, that's normal. I'll figure it out. Luckily I never had credit card debt, because I knew that I had to pay $1,000 towards debt a month, and that was just for minimums. But you mentioned that you started with Dave Ramsey, and since you've started, you've changed. What are some changes that you personally have made? And then for those listening, I do want to make clear, this is not advice, just listening to H's story. So like, what are changes that you have made that you found beneficial?
So I got into Dave Ramsey as soon as I found out about the debt free community, because that's one people always talked about. I got the books, I listened to the podcast every day on my way to work for like 5 months. But when I lost my job, actually, that's what really changed for me. It's the whole, you have to be bare bones, minimum $1,000 in your emergency fund. I think that's what hit me. I was like, when I lost my job, I had 3 months worth of savings in my account. And if I had listened to Dave and only had $1,000 while I was starting to pay off debt the first time I started, let's say I started my debt-free original, was probably mid-March 2019, then I lost my job the next month. So if I'd only had $1,000 to my name, I would have been really scraping really low. So I was like, I'm not doing that. I need to bump up a little bit. So I've kept at least, and it took me a year to find a new job, a full-time job in that capacity. I worked a lot of side hustles in between, but it's just the whole, you need to have the bare bones. I didn't like that. Or the stop contributing to your investments while you're in debt. I understand for some cases where it's like, okay, you have too many, people are juggling too many things, so they need something to focus on. But I don't want to discount the fact that I could put, even if it's like $20 a week into an investment, as opposed to putting nothing, because nothing gets you back time once you lose time in the market. So it's like, yes, you can divert all your focus to paying off high interest debt, but you still shouldn't put anything. Just stop all contributions to all forms of investment accounts, which is what I didn't agree on. That and having minimal savings. And I also found that with life and the Rona going on, that is the way it is, that whole let's only have $1,000 until you pay off all your debt. And then once you pay off all your debt, then you go to 3 to 6 months. And it's like, that's too little to expect people to have without assuming you have regular income. So that was it for me. I was like, I have a regular income and I'm noticing that. So I was like, I don't want to be the point where I'm scraping things. That's the reason why I racked up my credit card debt. When I lost my job, I didn't really have credit card debt. I was maybe credit card float, but I would pay it off every month. But not having, I only had 3 months, and then it took me a year to find a job. Even when I had little part-time jobs, it would never really cover my gaps. So I was charging anything that didn't have to be cash on my credit card. And then by the time the year was over, I had $21,000 in credit card debt just to my living expenses. Like, that was bare bones living expenses because I didn't have enough income. So that's another thing that made me realize this is not okay advice, because that leads to you having more debt.
I love that. And that's something that I realized as well. Just like you, is I knew about the $1,000, but I wasn't going to spend my, I had, I think, about like 3,000 something in my savings account, and I was not going to put 2,500 towards it. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to put any more towards savings when I first started on like my debt-free journey. But it came to help me out when I had to move out due to job, getting a new job in a new place. And yeah, I'm the same way as you. I'm not investing as aggressively since I still have some high interest debt left. But I also know that the power of time is on my side, since I am 23 currently.
Yeah, you have a few more years of time, but not that much.
Yep.
But I think about that too. Like, part of you would say that you're 23, I'm 26. And it's like every year matters. And I mean, I studied mathematical finance in college, so I know exactly how bad compound interest could be your best friend or your worst enemy. But it's like seeing the difference of 3 years of interest compounding, there's that difference. It's like, wow, that could be a lot. But you think about debt, that could also be a lot too. So it's like you weigh the scale and say, all right, what if I put like 7% towards debt and 3% towards investing? So I'm still putting in 10% of my income towards something, you know, like mm-hmm. just change the ratios. I'm a firm believer in adjusting ratios. But I don't live off of a budget scale that says, oh, like, you know, people who do like 50, 30, 20. 20. Budget.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would drive me insane. More of a zero base, because I can't like confine everything to say, oh, I need to fit into 50%. If it doesn't fit into 50, I'm going to have to. No.
Yeah. Speaking of budgeting, you mentioned you do zero based. And for those listening, it's you put you put each dollar somewhere. Specifically so that at the end of your paycheck, you know where every single dollar is going. How do you do that, H? Do you use Excel sheet? Do you have an app that you use, pen and paper?
I feel like I started doing it way before I even knew it was called zero-based budgeting. I was just like, when I got my first job at 17, I've been on my own. I really have unsupported parents. I've always had to pay for everything. So I'm used to being in the habit of, this is how much you have in your check and this is all you can spend. So I'd always look at my check and start subtracting my bills. I'm like, all right, the check's 500. Then you have to pay this for 200. Then this is 175. Then I would keep subtracting until every dollar was kind of accounted for. And then whatever was left, then I would save. And that's the way I was living for years. And people was like, you know, that's zero-based budgeting. I'm like, wow, that's a thing. but I really did it on paper for years. And then now, I think last year, I don't know how many people know Carmen, but Carmen had these sheets make real sense. She had these sheets on her page that she was giving away, and it was just allowed me to like track every expense. And that's when I really kickstarted my debt-free journey. And I was tracking everything on paper, like highlighter, writing it down. I would come home with my receipts, writing it down. And then this year I switched over to an Excel spreadsheet from My Wealth Diary, and she has this dashboard, and I put it all so I can actually see the cumulative chart over time. So I've been tracking. I went back and recharted everything from paper from January to December last year into the spreadsheet. And from this year, January, I've been putting it all in the spreadsheet. So I have almost 2 years worth of data on a spreadsheet that I can look at. And I was like, wow, I've been able to stick to these months. I have not been able to stick to these months. Or being able to adjust on spreadsheet is much easier than adjust on paper, versus when I used to do it in like the back of my planner, I was always scratching through, rewriting for every little instance that occurred. Something came up you need to plan for, scratching out, rewriting. So I was like, I like this spreadsheet for longevity, I should say.
I see. In terms of budgeting, how did that look? I'm just curious. How did that look in terms of when you lost your full-time job and you were doing multiple side hustles? So not consistent income every month.
Oh yeah, that was hard. It was hard. It was more like what has to be paid. So mm-hmm. I know the musts were like the rent has to go, the utilities have to be paid, the car note had to be paid, and the car insurance. Everything else was like robbing Peter to pay Paul. I was like, all right, if I don't pay, and then some of my credit cards, I would do that. I would be like, okay, can I get by, or call them and be like, hey, I have a hardship. Can I not pay you this month? And you not report it to the credit agency? Cool. And then I would pay them the next month, and then the next month I would call the next one. And it was like a vicious cycle or some, yeah, it was like, oh man, or anything like everything else. I charged to the card. So like my food, I would try to keep my food. I chopped down. I went to Aldi and I was like, Hope, you're spending $25 a week in food. That's it. No more. $100 a month. This is all you're going to eat. And then I got a side job at the restaurant. I was like snacking on whatever was left of the restaurant when I closed at night, filling up what I could from there. I had friends that were nice enough to like bring me food or take me out to meals sometimes because they knew my situation. Those were super close to me. Mm-hmm. Or they would like tell me when, like, hey, Hope, we know we don't try to like give you handouts, but come for dinner for a night or something like that, you know. But it was super, super hard and very, very depressing, I will say.
I see. On the not so depressing side, you mentioned you started your journey on January 20th. I know we're 2 months away from New Year's, and something that I always struggle with is I think of this crazy idea and I'm going to start on January 1st. And then January 1st comes around and I'm like, oh, I forgot. I'll do it next year. How did that look for you in terms of like starting, right? Like I'm going to start, this is when I'm starting. Doesn't matter what day it is.
Oh, that's how I ended up with January 20th because it was like, I was like, I could start. I mean, that whole, I was out of a job for until March 2020. So technically I restarted my debt-free journey without having a full-time job again. I was like, no, I had a fed up moment. I think it's when I was doing my whole Rob Peter to PayPal, I had a PayPal credit and they actually canceled my line. And I was like scared. My car battery just died. I was having so many like crises happen at the same week. And my old roommate had moved out. I was having so many life events. I was like, no, Hope, you got to get your money together. This is it. Like I had my, this is it moment. When you have your, that moment, it's like, nothing will stop you from saying, all right, I need to get it together because I cannot live like this. So I had it fed up that night. I sat down, I pulled out every single bank statement I had for the past month. I wrote them all down. I put them in the spreadsheet and said, this is what you have and you're going to pay all this back.
Awesome.
I had my like breakdown moment where I was like crying on the floor because it's 20 degrees outside. My car died. It was like, oh man, I had my it moment.
Yep. And we're getting to the 20 degrees again. And now you don't even have a car. You want to tell us about that?
I know. It's like the car market. I was doing Uber Eats as like one of my side hustles too. And then got my car totaled in the process of one of those nights coming home from Uber Eats. And I was like, I'm just going to save up money. Cause I was like, Hope, you're going to do the debt-free thing. You're never going to have a car note again. And I was actually really close to paying off that car note. It was just over 3 years and with that car, but I was going to pay it off in the next like 4 months of having it, which is super great, but now it's gone. And I said, let me save up like a good 5K and I could put down for a reasonably used SUV, maybe a couple years older. You know, it doesn't have to be bells and whistles like I had before, but it's cool because I work from home for now. But with this car market and the pandemic, the surges in used car prices are insane. So it's like the cars that I used to look at that used to be worth that value are now worth almost double. And I refuse to spend like 10, put down, even save up that kind of money to put down for a car that I know is not worth that value. So that's kind of hard for me. So I've been doing a lot of Uber, like just minimizing my trips, getting grocery delivery or banking my trips. If I have to go to work, the grocery store is right next to work, walk across the street, Uber home with my groceries, 2 trips, 1 stone. Mm-hmm. But I was like, my friends keep asking me, Hope, are you getting another car? I said, as long as the market looks the way it does, I will not. I refuse to spend that kind of money on a car because, and it's also think about it, when you're paying down debt, it will hurt my chest to write a check for like 10K for a car that I know is not worth it. And then I could have used that money towards something else, you know?
Yeah. The opportunity cost is a big one.
Yes, it is. It really does sit in my head daily and I weigh that very heavily. So I'm just like, I don't want to do it. I can do it. It can make my life easier, but I know it's going to be a beater. And if I spend 10K, it doesn't mean I'm getting a more reliable car as opposed to before when you supposed to spend a little bit more, you got a better car.
Yep.
So that's not the case right now. It's like, you're still going to get the same beater. It's just going to cost more. Yep. And then the repairs and all that stuff. I'm like, wow.
You mentioned that you side hustle. How does that look in terms of like your spending money for the month since you budget? Is your side hustle included in your budget or is that your play money?
Funny you would say that. So 2020 Hope was very different from 2021. So last year, whenever I had side hustle money, I would just spend it on included. I wouldn't include it in the budget roughly, it would be like a low estimate, low ball, like what's the lowest I've ever made from each hustle that I've done, and add it to the budget. And then I would just count it as like discretionary, like, cool, I can spend a little bit more money doing stupid stuff. And I'm like, then this year I was like, wait, you need to be focused on your goals. You have no car, you need to be using all that money. And so this year I've been taking all of that money and sending it to extra debt payments every soon as it comes in. That's why I paid off my Chase card actually last week. If you look at my statements for this month that I just got, it's like every 2 days there's a payment going through. It's because every time I side hustled and got that money, I sent it straight over. I didn't even let it get comfortable in my bank account. If it got Venmo'd, it Venmo'd and transferred into the bank, and then I go on to Chase app and pay it, and never sat in my account for more than 24 hours. So it really made a difference of me saying, okay, I'm not going to account for it as part of my budget, but when it does come in, it's going towards a debt payment.
Yep. And I can resonate with that so perfectly. When I side hustle, if I do Shipt or Instacart or Grubhub, mm-hmm. I do keep like a tiny checking account buffer in my checking account. I know what my minimum is for the month, and that's where my 1 month expenses lives. But before it even cashes out to my bank account, I immediately send it over to whatever debt that I'm targeting at the moment. And I think that's helped me personally as well, is like not letting it even hit, because then I'm like, oh, I have, if I only need $600 for the month and I have $1,000, I have $400 to play with. Which iPad model can I get?
I think we've all been there, but that's what really gets you. Then you realize you're doing this every single month. And then if you look back at like a yearly spend or like term or quarter, you're like, how much money did you waste? Or could have been used for something else. But then you also don't want to get stuck in the whole constant opportunity cost shuffling, because you're never going to want to spend money.
For sure. H, if you met a stranger, what is one thing that you would tell them about personal finance?
Personal finance. I'm going to disagree with the whole personal finance is personal, but I will say that everybody should understand where their money, what their money situation looks like, whether that be what's coming in, what's going out, how much you owe people, you aim to never owe people, and how much you have, so that you can live a comfortable lifestyle, because you don't want to live the life where you are a slave to a job. You can just be free. Like, I feel like we as humans, we're designed to just be, and we live in a world where things are revolve around work, because we work so much we trade our time for money, but we want to have personal finance down packed to the point where we can say, my money is just a tool. I control my money. My money does not control me.
That's great. Everyone should understand what their money situation looks like, what's coming in and what's coming out, because my money is a tool. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, H, thank you again for your time. I really appreciate you taking time out of your evening to speak with us. And for our listeners listening, you can find her at Data Driven Frugal Living. I will link it in the show notes. Thanks, H.
Thank you.
Thank you again for tuning into today's episode. If you want to follow today's guest, the link is in the show notes. If you haven't already, it'd be greatly appreciated if you can follow the podcast on the platform that you're listening on. Just a reminder that personal finance is personal, and it's not like the average jolt.